what you say. I was talking about my mother-in-law, and I forgot to complete the story. When she said that she wasn't going into the nursing home, that she was going home. Well, the next day the Lord did take her home. And what a tremendous entry she had into that celestial city. Now, I'd like to thank you on behalf of my colleagues and myself for giving us a wonderful weekend. It's been truly a day spent in God's court, 3 days, and has been very, very profitable and very delightful to have been here during these days together. We trust that out of it all, that the Lord will be glorified. When I was here in October, we read this scripture every night for a week. Well, all day, this scripture here has been before my vision, what think ye of Christ? Then we went down to supper, and there again it's on the wall in the basement, what think ye of Christ? I would like to touch on that verse this evening. No need to turn to it because it's written right here, Matthew 22 and verse 42. What think ye of Christ? In this chapter 22 of the Gospel by Matthew, it is a chapter of many questions. There's a question raised by a king. And then there was a question raised by a Herodian. And then a question raised by a Pharisee. And a question raised by the Sadducee. A chapter of many questions. The king asked a man who came into the marriage, how camest thou in not having a wedding garment? So it was a question about a garment and a marriage. The second question raised by the Herodian was, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So it was a question about money. And then there was a question raised by the Pharisee, Master, what is the great commandment? So he was a question about the law. And then there was a question raised by the Sadducees concerning the resurrection. And as you know, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and that's why one had said, that's why they were sad, you see. So there are many questions here in this Gospel by Matthew chapter 22. Now they have been asking the Lord Jesus Christ questions. Now he asks them a question. What think ye of Christ? Now after what we've heard these past few days, what think ye of Christ? First of all, we find that it was a positive question. What think? God in his kindness has given us the capacity to understand and to consider, to contemplate, to think. And so it's a real positive question that you must give an answer to God before you leave this building tonight. It's a positive question. What? It is also a personal question. What think ye of Christ? God is challenging each of us in relation to this wonderful man called the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must of necessity answer that question personally to the Lord. Even the boys and the girls can understand this question. And it would be a wonderful thing if I just passed around some pieces of paper with pencils and just asked you to give an appraisal. It would be a wonderful night just to consider the various answers. It is a personal question. It is concerning you. What think ye of Christ? And it is a personable question. We're not talking about President Carter or Pierre Trudeau or Leonid Brezhnev or any other political leader in the world. The question is concerning Christ. What think ye of Christ? Now just for a moment, what do you think of his person? Nobody just like him, as we've been hearing time after time during these conference meetings. No mortal can with him compare amongst the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. What do you really think about his person? That would be a very interesting answer to observe. Secondly, what do you think about his passion? Have you ever given any consideration to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. The great artist Stenberg was going down a street one day and he saw skipping ahead of him a little girl. And she was a gypsy. And he immediately conceived in his mind a painting that he would call The Dancing Gypsy Girl. And so he invited her to his studio. And during a research on the work of this production, she went round the studio and saw a painting on the wall. It was a painting of a man hanging upon a cross in agonies and blood. She turned to Stenberg. It wasn't a completed production, but she could detect what it was. She said to Stenberg, "Sir, he must have been a very, very wicked man to have died such a death." "Oh, no, no, no," said Stenberg. "He was the greatest man that ever lived. He died for the world." In childlike simplicity, she turned to Stenberg. "Tell me, sir, did he die for you?" Well, he realized for the first time in his life that he must have a personal application regarding the death of the Lord Jesus. And the volume of his sin came before him, he asked forgiveness, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. Immediately, he went to work to complete the picture on the crucifixion. The caption under the painting was, "This I have done for thee. What hast thou done for me?" That painting ultimately hung in the art galleries in Dusseldorf. And a young count by the name of Zinzendorf was passing through observing these various productions of art on the wall of this museum. And he saw this painting by Stenberg, the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there upon a cross. And the challenge, "This I have done for thee, what hast thou done for me?" And Zinzendorf-like the artist Stenberg, he fell in love with the Lord Jesus. It was during the time of the persecution of the Moravian missionaries, and they took sanctuary in his castle, and finally they emigrated to Bethlehem in Pennsylvania and formed a Moravian colony there. It was the passion, the suffering of the Lord Jesus, that spoke volumes to these men. Now, what do you think about his passion? Have you ever given any consideration to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus? The poet says, "The maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made unto the uttermost, he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined, in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence have sprung, the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wound, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The skies which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear which spilled his precious blood, was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid, was hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow." What do you think about the passion, the suffering of the Lord Jesus? Have you got an answer to the question? Not only a question regarding his person and his passion, but what do you think of his power? Here is one who has the ability to change lives. When I left you here in October, I went down to the Bahamas, where I had the special meetings when I took the heart attack. And it just seemed the Lord took over as I left, and the dear man who was an alcoholic, his name Laverne Sands, and Laverne came to the Lord Jesus at 3 o'clock one morning on his bended knees. His life has been changed. What do you think of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know any Christians whose lives speak volumes to you? Whose lives have been so changed that you can detect that there's something has gone on in their heart of hearts? What do you think of his power? Just last week down in Washington, D.C., I was reminiscing with a dear lad who has been saved for 5 years. And when I was there previously, he said to me, Mr. Dougal, the last time you were here, I got saved by the grace of God and your finger. Well, that was a new one. By the grace of God and your finger. Well, he said, you're coming for supper tomorrow night, I'll tell you all about it. He said, I was invited out to hear you and Brother Nicholson preach the gospel. And he says, it wasn't so much the messages, but I got absolutely infuriated at your finger. It was always in my fist. And he says, I was determined that you would never do it again. And so he said, that's the end of me on these gospel meetings. Well, the next evening he returned from work, and his wife, who's a lovely Christian, she says, Eddie, what is your project this evening? He always had some kind of a project operating when the meetings were going on. Well, he said, as a matter of fact, dear, I haven't got anything on specifically on this evening. She said, will you come to the meeting? Well, he didn't expect that one. Well, he said, I'm going to come to himself, but that preacher will never put his finger in my face. And so he went to the other side of the chapel, to the last pew. And he said, you wouldn't believe it. But all night, your finger was in my face again. And so he said, that's the end right there. But he's a carpenter. His name is Eddie Schwartzbeck. And on the roof as he was working, there was a voice said, you've got to go back. You've got to go back. You've got to go back. But he said, he'll never put his finger in my face. So he came back that night, and he got down behind a Dr. Olson who had shoulders like an ox. Right down behind him. And he says, that'll fix him. He'll never put his finger in my face again. He said, you wouldn't believe it, but your finger went round the corner. You know, beloved, it's a little music, isn't it? But it was not the preacher. It was the Holy Spirit had put his finger on him. And Eddie Schwartzbeck put his trust in the Lord Jesus. Whole family saved now. His sister saved. What do you think of the power of the Lord Jesus? What do you think of his position? We have been hearing much in these conference meetings that he is at God's right hand. That is his position. Seated at the highest pinnacle of glory. Now, what do you think of Christ? It is possible to react to the question in a fanatical way. To give a fanatical response to the question. If you ask the Pharisees in the days of the Lord Jesus, what think ye of Christ? Why, they would get absolutely infuriated and they would say, why, he is an insurrectionist. He is a winebibber and a gluttonous man. He is, this man perverted the nation. This man speaketh blasphemy. That can be a reaction to the question. A fanatical response. There were those who even attributed his miracles to Beelzebub. That was their response to the question. What think ye of Christ? But it's possible not only to give a fanatical response, but it is possible to give a favorable report and yet never be saved. It's possible to say nice things about the Lord Jesus and do things for the Lord Jesus and never be saved. There are those who are shut out in the picture in the Gospel by Luke that said, Lord, Lord. They could use religious language and address him as Lord. He said, I never knew you. But then they said, Lord, we partook of the sacraments. We ate the bread and we drank the wine in the communion feast. Religious participation. I never knew you. Lord, you taught in our streets that even had religious instruction. I never knew you. And they said, Lord, there's something wrong. We even cast out demons in thy name. And we have done wonderful works in thy name. He said, I never knew you. It's possible to do things for Christ and yet never be saved. And it's possible to say nice things about the Lord and never be saved. There's a man on the page of history called Joseph René. He was a French writer. critic on Orientalists. And he said some nice things about Christ. He says the Christ of the Gospels is the most beautiful incarnation of God. His beauty is eternal. His reign will never end. Wasn't that a nice thing to say about Christ? But there's nothing on the page of history to ever indicate that Joseph René ever became a Christian. And there's a man on the page of history, Johann von Goethe. He was a German poet. He says there shines from the Gospels a sublimity in the person of Christ that only the divine could manifest. And that was a nice thing to say about Christ. But there's nothing to indicate that that German poet ever became a Christian. And the great Rousseau, every schoolboy, every schoolgirl knows about Rousseau. Rousseau said some nice things about Christ. Rousseau said, was he no more than man? What sweetness, what purity in his way, what tender grace in his teaching, what loftiness in his maxims, what wisdom in his words, what delicacy in his touch, what a heart in the empire of his followers. Where is the man? Where is the sage that could suffer and bleed and die without weakness or display? So grand, so inimitable was his character. Wasn't it a lovely thing to say about Christ? But there's nothing to indicate that Rousseau ever became a Christian. Napoleon Bonaparte said, I, Charlemagne and Alexander the Great, have tried to build an empire by force, but this man, Jesus Christ, has built an empire upon love. Wasn't that a lovely thing to see about the Lord? And yet the last words of Napoleon were these, I, Napoleon, die before my time. This is the end of him whom they have called the great Napoleon. But oh, the abyss between my soul and the eternal kingdom of Christ. He never made it. And yet he said lovely things about the Lord Jesus. Even Herod, the fox, who interrogated the Lord Jesus, he says he is not worthy of death. That was a very favorable report. And Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Nice thing to say about the Lord Jesus, but never say it. In fact, he finally committed the Lord, Pilate, to the death of the cross. But tonight, friend, as I close, I'm sure you're getting a little tired. But let's think for a few moments about a frank appraisal. That's what God is interested in, a frank appraisal to the question. If we could pull the Apostle Peter down from heaven into our midst this evening and say to Peter, Peter, what do you think of Christ? Why, Peter would say, I go back to that day when I was introduced to him by my brother Andrew. And when I said that day, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's more precious to me now than he was then. That was a frank appraisal about the Lord Jesus. Thomas, what do you think of Christ? He's my Lord and my God. Paul, what do you think of Christ? He was a man who the equivalent, they tell us, of 6 doctorates. A brilliant mind. Paul, what do you think of Christ? He would say, what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse. If you spoke to Job, what do you think of Christ? He would say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now what do you think of Christ? God is standing by for your answer. Not the preacher. We are only sinners saved by precious blood. And that is the only credentials we have for standing behind this pulpit. Sinners saved by precious blood. But God is standing by for your answer. I handled this scripture one night down in Marple, Pennsylvania.
One evening, I took up the scripture. Depart from me, I never knew you. There was a lady who put her trust in the Lord, and I said to her, try and get your husband out to the meeting. Oh, she said, he's a Hebrew. He won't come out. Well, I said, you give him a special invitation from the preacher. And to my amazement, oh, ye of little faith, who turns up but the wife and her Hebrew husband? And so that night, depart from me, I never knew you. And all during the night he walked up and down, and all he could hear was the word of God, depart from me, I never knew you. And he was so disturbed. He came back again the next night, and I was so glad to see him. And I spoke in this text, what think ye of Christ? He was the first man to the back of the hall. He said, I'm going to tell you tonight what I think of Christ. Let's go down into the basement. And we went down into a small room in the basement. I opened up the scriptures to him. He was almost impatient with me to get on with the job. And we finally got down on our knees. And he says, I said, now you pray out. I've taken you as far as I can go. Now it's between you and God. You tell God what you want him to do. And so he began to pray. And this was his prayer as I took a mental note. Lord, I was a Jew. A stiff-necked Jew who hated thy son. Now I love him. Give me everlasting life. His name, Bill Klein. And Bill Klein just passed away into the Lord's presence about 6 months ago. That was a frank appraisal. I wonder, what are you going to say to the Lord tonight as he asks you the question, what think ye of Christ? The Mount Zion Reporter, published in Jerusalem in November 1972, gave a very interesting account of an interview by Arthur Rubinstein, the world famous pianist, and Golda Meir, who was the Prime Minister of Israel at that particular time. It was in live television in the city of Jerusalem. They spoke in generalities, and then finally, the Prime Minister said to Arthur Rubinstein, what has been the most significant event in your illustrious career? And he thought for a moment. He said, Mrs. Prime Minister, the greatest moment in my life was when I took Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, as my personal Savior. And from that moment onward, my life has been one of joy and peace. She didn't expect that one. And she sat back somewhat stunned. But oh, how wonderful to make that frank appraisal of the Lord Jesus. Now, what do you think of Christ? Boys, girls, what do you think of Christ? He's standing by right now for your answer. What will it be? A dear friend of mine, and with his eye closed, was working down in Washington. It was a ladies' coffee hour. And she was talking about this very scripture, what think ye of Christ? In the audience was the wife of the Undersecretary of the Navy at that time. And right in the middle of her message at this lady's coffee hour, up rose this wife of the Undersecretary of the Navy and addressed my friend, or our friend, and said to her, you never asked me what I think of Christ. Well, she was somewhat momentarily stunned. Well, what do you think of Christ? And she says, he is altogether lovely. My friend, tonight, is that your appraisal? That he is altogether lovely. If you're not saved, then you can't get saved. We can't save you, but we sure know the man who can. And if you have a desire tonight, meet myself and my colleagues at the door. But whatever you do, young or old, don't leave this building tonight without Christ. This might be your final night, and you might never get another opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus. We won't coerce you into anything. We just want to see you saved and know it and go on your way rejoicing. May it be so, for his name's sake, shall we.